Welcome to Tom Green's Poddy McPodcast, the best of Tom Green in the morning.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the podcast! I made a promise and it looks like I'm keeping it, doesn't it? Oh, sorry, there you are.
What do you mean?
I made a promise, I think it was last week or the week before, that I was no longer going to lollygag with these podcasts and they were going to be done on a Friday. And look at me.
You're still here.
Look at me go, Glen Coco.
On a Friday.
On a Friday, putting this bish together.
Yep.
God, I'm good. And I'm really busy today.
Oh, mate. So, oh, God, what a hard life.
Yeah, well done to me. And because of that, I'll give myself a bell. Thank you.
Well done.
How is everyone?
Yeah, good.
Yeah?
I think so.
Good.
I'm looking forward to the weekend.
Oh, mate, I'm so weekend ready. I'm going up to Scotland in like 3 hours.
Oh, great.
To DJ in Scotland.
Okay.
Ooh, records and
songs.
Are you
going to play some bangers?
I think I am going to play some bangers, actually. Yeah, I'm just trying to find some bangers to play. I think I'm going to play. I've got a remix of a very good song.
Play.
Damn it, that was a really bad thing to say. Wasn't it a remix of a very good song? That doesn't sound like I know what I'm talking about.
No, you sounded like it'd be a bit of a shoddy gig. Why don't you play Where Them Girls At?
Girls At. Because, nah.
That's a great song, mate.
See, these are the kind of nights that you go on.
Mate, everyone will pop off.
Where Them Girls At gets her. I think.
Yeah.
The kind of songs I play get her. A big bell. That's what they call me when I'm up there, the big bell. Anyway, the podcast this week got loads of exciting stuff in there. We've got Ewan McGregor on it. We've got some NTA awards. Talking about the National Television Awards, which means on it is going to be people like Anton Deck.
Yep.
And my mate Dobie's been listening to the podcast. Remember the guy with the afro?
Oh, yeah.
So I thought we'd get him on.
Oh, cool.
What do you reckon?
What will that add to the show?
I don't know. I'm just wondering what he's up to on a Friday.
Okay.
He's funny. Kind of. Yeah, he is funny.
Okay, cool.
Anyway, we'll start off with this because we spoke about the Channel Swim. But we need to talk about this. It's time for a Channel Swim update. If you don't know the story so far, basically, I'm going to be taking on the channel because everyone needs a 2017 goal. And, well, this is my 17 goal.
I just can't believe you're actually still fixated on this.
I'm still working on it.
Yeah, but it's unbelievable.
Well, this is what a lot of people are saying. We had a Channel Swim expert come on a couple of weeks ago. He's the king of the channel. He said this was my main hurdle.
Hurdle number one, he's got to be capable of swimming for, let's say, 15 hours.
Yeah? That was the main issue.
Have you done that yet?
I've been working on it. So let me tell you, let me give you an update, right? So last week, I went to the gym not once, not twice, not three times, not four times, not five times, but six times. That's me taking one day off.
Yeah.
I was swimming every single day in the gym.
How long for?
Normally about 45 minutes of swimming.
Are you exaggerating?
I'm not exaggerating. Over, right. So if you combine everything that I did in a week,
yeah,
I'd be under halfway there.
Yes.
Even better than that, I bought some goggles from Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
They're bought. They're turning up today. And I've started making inroads with a swimming coach to help me.
So you've swam for, let's say, 14 hours and 15 minutes less than the required amount each time.
You are right.
And you bought some goggles.
And I bought some goggles. I think we can all call that a channel success. The Hits. Can everyone just take a seat for a second? Because I have got a genuine showbiz story from my weekend for you. And I don't think you're going to believe this. So, later this week, I'm going to be interviewing Ewan McGregor and Danny Boyle for this show, right? It's about, all about their new film, Trainspotting. And Danny Boyle has basically said, I can't interview him unless I've seen his film. So normally when this happens, Daniel Craig did the same. Not Daniel. Daniel Radcliffe did the same. They'll normally send you the DVD, but they're really protective over this film, right? So I know people that have been sent the DVD and they've had guards come with them.
No way.
Into their real house, right? So
really?
Guards come into your house with the DVD. You put it on. The guards stay in the kitchen or whatever, and then they take the DVD away from you.
Who's watching a film in the kitchen?
No, the guards stay in the kitchen. You watch the film in the lounge.
All right.
The guards are just having a cup of tea. Anyway, so I got invited to a screening in London of the new Trainspotting film this weekend. So I went down, and the screening wasn't even in a cinema. It was in a private cinema at Sony.
Right.
Right. Crazy. They have a cinema in their office.
With popcorn?
With popcorn, with everything.
Really?
Popcorn on the chairs. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And it's not even like a normal cinema. It's not like there's like a couple of rows. It's a huge cinema, like a full-size cinema in their office.
Yeah.
So I, as I go in there, they go, oh, hi, Tom, you're all right. Yeah, you're through here. You're watching this. Do you want some notes and all that kind of stuff? But you're only watching it with one other person today. It's just you and someone else. I was like, okay, cool. Who is it? And I sat down, they went, yeah, so it'll be coming through in a minute. It's just you and you and Graham Norton are going to be watching it together.
No way.
Yes. So on Saturday, I found myself in the cinema watching Trainspotting with Graham Norton.
Did you sit next to him?
No. So here's what happened, right? So I was early, so I got in there first and went and sat down at the front. Mm-hmm. So he was the one that came in after me and he kind of chose where to sit.
Right.
So he sat two rows behind me. Right. However, you know, if it was the other way around and I was coming in late, I'd have strided right in.
You would have.
So, oh, how you doing, Graham? You all right? Love to see you.
Did you chat to him?
You don't mind if I just take my shoes off, do you?
Did you chat to him then?
Yes.
Did you?
Yes. So I wanted to talk to him. So I kind of did the thing where you stand up and put your coat on and be like, is he leaving yet? No, he's not leaving yet. I'll wait till he leaves. And I followed him out the building and had a chat to him on the way out. Really good, really nice guy. Introduced himself as Graham. It's like, I know who you are.
Right. I've seen you before.
Yeah. And right, you will never, ever believe what he left in.
Right.
How he left the building to travel to his next destination. You look guessing how he left because you would never believe it. Look, Lucy says, did he leave in a limousine, Tom? No. Yasmin, is it something crazy like a Renault Clio? That sounds like something Graham Norton would drive again. Not that. James, is it a Hummer? Stacey's a Ferrari or a Porsche? Is it a helicopter? It's a big to all of them. And Chantel, however, gets a... because she's almost there. Saying, Tom, did Graham Norton leave the cinema on a unicycle? No. However, he did leave on a bike.
Right.
Like, so he turned up to the headquarters of Sony, tied his bike up to the lamppost, and just cycled off when he finished the screening.
I like that. That's great.
So did I. He also had one of those, like, invisible, like, tabard things he put on round himself. I've not seen that one since the 80s. Oh, my old mate Graham Norton on the old pod. We're good friends now, you know.
But no, I think as we've just covered in that piece, you've only met him for 5 minutes. You're not mates.
That's why I'm doing that.
Why are you doing that?
Because you've made a fool of yourself. A real fool of yourself. So a lot's changed since that happened on the show.
What?
Well, you know, I'm going out to London to see him, so...
Oh, yeah, well, that's because you fangirled and asked if you could... Hi, Graham, can I sit in on your show? You're recording your television programme.
Yeah.
And now you're going down...
and watching him put his TV show together.
Oh, hi, Graham.
I'm going to be on the TV.
Can you sign this for me?
Please sign this.
Sign my face.
Sign my boob. I'm going to try and do the red chair.
Yeah.
And it'd be fun.
Yeah, well, it would be if you managed to get on the chair.
Yeah, well, it's next Thursday, so... No, it's the Thursday after next. So I'll give you, what I'll do, right, is this my promise to you? I'll tell the story on the radio, but I'll tell you what really happened on the podcast.
They'll be virtually the same, won't they?
No, there'll be other things that will go on.
Oh, they won't.
They won't when I'm backstage with me and Gray.
If anything, like, I do think it'd be funny.
Glass of white wine. Yes, Graham, high five.
I do think it'd be funny if you and Graham struck up this weird friendship.
What's weird with being friends with Graham? Nothing weird about that.
He's just won a special recognition award at the MCAs.
And me and him, we're in the same circles.
You've got a debt at the tuck shop upstairs.
I do have a debt at the tuck shop.
Yeah, those are the differences in you two.
God, that's going to stress me out for the weekend, isn't it? Now I've got that hanging over my head. Anyway, we're playing a new game called Receptionist Wars. Here it is. I came up with a new game yesterday for the show called Receptionist Wars. Okay, so here's how this works. We have a phone system here at work. I call one receptionist and then I call another. I then put them both on the same line, okay? So they both think the other person has called them for some reception-based assistance. Does that make sense?
Yes, I think so.
Receptionist Wars!
Okay.
All right. Before we did this, we trialed it on our two colleagues. Do you want to hear how it went?
Yeah.
Oh, Receptionist Wars! Who's calling? Receptionists.
Afternoon. Kelly speaking.
Ah, hi. It's not me that needs to talk to you. It's my friend. Can I just go and put her on?
It depends on what it's for. You might be through to the wrong person.
Oh, she'll explain.
Okay.
Receptionist Wars.
Introducing receptionist number two. Good afternoon. It's Nikki speaking.
Hi, Nikki. It's Kelly from here.
Hello.
I've just been put through to you.
Okay.
Do you know what it's about?
No idea.
What is going on here? Someone's always trying to wind us up.
Oh, that's really weird.
Someone's messing with us.
How are you, anyway?
I'm fine, yeah. I'm doing well.
Yeah, very good.
I wonder why they'll try... Someone's obviously recording this.
Yes, I'm sure they will be.
Oh, you're both far too good, aren't you?
That's... You little devil.
That was a receptionist war fail. Receptionist wars.
So I didn't think the pilot went that well.
No, really, at this stage, you'd be looking at canning the game.
I carried on, though, and it got better.
Oh, receptionist wars. Who's calling? Receptionists.
Good afternoon.
Sorry, it's not me that needs to talk to you. It's my friend. Can I go and get her? Is that okay?
Okay.
Receptionist wars.
Introducing receptionist number 2.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, can I help?
You phone me.
I didn't.
Okay, I haven't phoned anybody.
All right, well, no, my number, if I'd phoned, my number comes up as withheld anyway, I'm afraid.
Okay.
Okay,
thank you.
Oh, another classic battle in Receptionist Wars.
That one got quite fiery. It's time to do this.
Tom Green's Headliners. The Hits.
The New. All right, then it's time to do Headliners. Morning, Chantel.
Morning.
Morning, baby. Okay?
Yeah, not too bad, are you?
Yeah, very good, very good. And welcome to Headliners.
Thank you.
Oh, do you know how it works?
I sure do.
Oh, for those that don't, 3 headlines, 2 of them are fake, 1 of them are real. All you got to do is tell me which one's real. Now,
right.
Chantal, I don't want to add any sort of pressure on at this point, but are you aware of what headliner streak we're on?
1.
It's a headliner streak of 1, which, although sounds unimpressive, is the highest we've ever been. So, don't bleep this up, okay?
Right, no pressure.
This is the first headline.
A hot chili pepper could extend your life by 10 years.
Okay. A hot chili pepper could extend your life by 10 years. Chantel, does that feel like it could be real?
Possibly.
That's number 1.
The world's first umbrella city to be built, shielding residents from rain.
Yeah, I don't even know what that sentence means.
What did that even say?
Louis?
World's first umbrella city to be built. So a city underneath a giant umbrella to shield the residents.
I guess here's the question, is it one umbrella or is it multiple?
I don't know. The world's a bit crazy, isn't it?
It is.
We'll just have to see number 3.
It is number 3.
Ferrari are launching a hatchback rival to the Ford Focus.
Okay, Chantel. Again, I don't want to stress you out, but headline streak of 1, remember. So, we've got the cheap Ferrari, we've got the Umbrella City, and we've got the Red Hot Chili Pepper 10 years at life extension thing. Please, Chantel.
I'm going to go in number 2 just because it sounds that crazy. It could be true.
The Umbrella City.
Umbrella City.
There's going to be a city built under either one big umbrella or consecutive umbrellas lined up.
Possibly. Number 2.
Louis? Louis?
That's...
Louis?
Yes, that's not... Yeah, that's not correct.
I've had the best weekend of my life knowing that I was on a headliner streak of 1.
I've just destroyed it.
And you've just destroyed it. You've bye-bye'd the headliner streak. Which one was real?
It was if you eat some chili peppers, it'll extend your life.
Well, have a good day, Chantel.
All right, you too.
And I don't dislike you, I'm just annoyed at you.
That's fine, I understand completely.
See you later.
Bye.
Oh, there you go. Welcome back to the pre-recorded podcast section, podcast fans. That is the only, you'll be glad to know, the only game of headliners in the podcast this week.
Oh.
Not that I think it's bad, I think it's good, I just think you can OD on it.
I think, there's a good reason why we only had one episode this week.
Oh, there was a very good reason, and you will find out why later in the podcast. It was actually, basically, some woman. That sounded a bit rude, didn't it?
Some old woman.
That's that woman?
Well, we know you'd be able to run a market stall if this all goes wrong.
Two bits of eggs. Who wants that? You in the back, you so woman.
There you are.
Don't you think it'd be funny if I took this vote like that?
I'll have a pound of bananas.
Aye, a pound of bananas for you. Get it back to your wife. Right, I'm going to say a sentence and you have to translate it.
Oh my okay? God. In the new game, market stall roulette.
Right, okay. So, okay.
This is an
on-air idea, okay?
We're not doing it on air.
No,
we're this doing... is a never going to make it to air.
Yeah.
Demo.
Okay, hold on. So it's called Market Stall Roulette, okay? Pardon for me for a second.
You don't understand.
Oh, he's basically, and he's been doing it all week, he's now going to do it to you.
You don't understand. Your mother is looking out for me for years.
It's not even from any film, it's just generic.
It's just a generic American, I'm just using my talents. You don't understand.
Okay.
What it was like for me.
So, here is the first ever
so
the...
Un-
shut up.
The so difficult.
The inaugural game of What Is That Man on the Fish Market Saying? What is that man on the fish market saying?
I don't know, man.
Right, shut up. Only one of us can do accent. Right, so I'm going to spin the wheel and then it's going to land on a sentence. I'm then going to say that sentence. All you got to do is work out what the man on the fish market is saying. Ready? Going to go over to the wheel. Spinning. Okay. Oh. It's a long.
Come on.
It's not false, isn't it? Oh. There you go. Oi, darling, what you got over there? Come on, I have some pears in the boot.
Right. Come on, darling. What are you saying over there? I've got some pears in the boot. Is that what you said?
Much.
Right.
There'll be more from What Is That Man on the Fish Market Saying.
Why are you selling pears at a fish market?
Later in the podcast. Here's what happened when my iPhone called me fat. It's so cold this morning that producer Louis worried I wouldn't get into work, didn't you?
I just gave you the old frost bits text, yeah.
Because there is major, major frost bits outside today. It was kind of chaos defrosting the car. It was a nightmare this morning. And I really don't want to be this guy, but I'll tell you what, it's a real nightmare for me because it was leg day yesterday, wasn't it? So, you know, the old legs are hurting. Oh.
Remarkable you're still keeping up this gym facade.
Hashtag gym life, 6 times a week, baby.
No, that's bad, actually.
It's pretty bad. I'm a bad boy. Bad boy.
Actually, I don't think that's good for you.
Yes, because I'm a bad boy. I'll tell you what, though, it was an absolute shocker last night in the changing room. So for the first time since going to the gym in 3 weeks, I decided it'd be a good idea to weigh myself, right? So I weighed myself and came in just over 13 stone.
Okay.
I don't know if that's fine or not, right? I have no idea. I'm 5'8", 9", average height in the UK. Right, so then I put it into my iPhone to tell me whether this weight was okay. And never ever do that. Because the last person you want to be telling you you're a little fatty is your iPhone. It breaks the news to you in the worst way ever. So I found this little website, right, and you put all the details in, like your height, your weight, and all this kind of stuff, how long you've been exercising, what your kind of diet is, and it just goes, calculating, like that. And then all of a sudden, just pops up on the screen, you are technically overweight.
Well done, mate.
Thanks, iPhone. Thanks for breaking it to me. This is a Little Mix corner, guys. I was going through the comments on the Touch video last night, and if you've not done this, it's absolutely wonderful because people are kicking off on there at the moment. I've just got some of them here, right? So this is one of the comments from one of the users saying, what in the darn heck is Perry wearing? There's a lot of beef around Perry's outfit because it is a little bit, it's different. Someone saying, I don't know the names of any of these people bar Perry, and what is that weird outfit she's wearing? Did she have beef with their stylist? Someone else replying, I don't care about Perry's outfit because she's damn gorgeous. And is it just me or is Jessie getting hotter and hotter? I don't know. Again, back to Perry's outfit. Everyone hates Perry's outfit, but I think she slays it. And my favourite is after a little bit of scrolling down, a user that's slightly confused and says, they're nothing without Camila Cabello.
Tom Green's Poddy McPodcast. Catch Tom weekdays from 7 a.m. on The Hits.
Right, welcome to the show. Ewan McGregor, everybody!
Oi, oi!
Oi, oi! How are you? And you all right?
I'm awesome, yeah, good. You?
Yes, very good, very good. Now, before we start, can I just say, I've seen the film.
Yeah.
And it is amazing.
I know.
That last, that just that last sequence in the film with the music and as it all builds and it's just, it's superb.
It's so gutting, isn't it? I was so impressed with it and moved by it. I was super pleased with it, yeah.
When did you know it was going to be good? Was it when you got the script? Was it when you stood on the set? Was there a moment when you thought, okay, I'm a bit reassured now, this is going to be actually quite good? Because sequels can often be a letdown.
The script, yeah. I mean, I felt like I might have had some of those worries before I read the script, and then the second I read it, they disappeared. I didn't have to worry anymore.
Was it weird revisiting some of the shots? Because there's a moment where you almost redo the opening shot when you end up on the boot of the car, as you well know. Was it weird filming that again?
They happened, you know, they weren't planned.
That was almost shot for shot.
No, but it just happened in that it wasn't scripted that I did that. It was just, I fell off the car and I just found myself doing it. Like there was a memory, a muscle memory of some of the scenes. There's another moment where I'm coming up through towards the end of the film. I climb up into an attic and there was, you know, there's some rafters that I'm coming through. And as I push myself up, it reminded me of coming up through the toilet at the end of the toilet scene. It was just like a memory of it. I went, oh. I think when you're re-exploring a character, even if it's 20 years later, something about that every moment of the experience of making Trainspotting is still in you somewhere. You know what I mean? A memory of it.
I love the fact that if no one's seen the first film, that just sounds crazy, the bit where you climbed out the toilet. Which, by the way, even in that first film, even though I've seen it a million times, it is still a bit crazy, that scene.
It's brilliant, that scene.
It's genius.
Again, it's like when Trainspotting came out in the 90s, people were like, what? What? I mean, it took people by surprise, I guess. And so does this. I think this is a new film. It's a new... I've never seen a film like this one. And I think people will feel the same way. They'll go, oh my God, what? It's like Danny Boyle's genius, you know.
Now, in the new film, you're looking, at least at the start, really quite fit and quite in shape. Are you living that life in real life, Ewan?
Yes, I like to be fit, yeah. I like running. I'm a bit of a runner, as is Johnny Lee Miller. Johnny's an amazing runner. He's like, he runs ultra marathons, 50-mile races. He's done a couple of 100-mile races, Johnny. And I went up to Edinburgh, as you know, I had to get in shape for this. I did it mainly by running because I love running anyway. And then I started talking to Johnny about it, and he introduced me to a couple of books, one called Born to Run and stuff. And it changed my, you know, out there in Edinburgh, we went for a couple of runs together around Arthur's Seat, and he runs up Arthur's Seat.
That's crazy.
From the bottom to the top. And it was great to reunite with Johnny and all the boys, but Johnny and I have got a lot of history. We used to live together. We shared a flat with Jude Law for some time in North London when we were starting out. And,
right. Stop. There has got to be at least one rock and roll story from that house.
Oh my God, there's not one rock and roll story from that house.
Give me one. I want to know the most rock and roll moment we could talk about on the radio between you lot and that house.
I'm not going to. My lips are sealed. You can use your imagination. It was the three of us. It was the three of us in the 90s in a flat in North London. So there you go. That was it.
You live in LA now, right?
I do, yeah.
Now, something that I've always wanted to ask you because I've been a fan for years. Is there anything you have in that house from the sets of previous films you've been on? Have you stolen anything?
Yeah, I got lots of stuff. I've got little knickknacks from movies and some big knickknacks from some other movies.
Come on, what have you got?
I got little things that meant something to me, like props, sometimes shoes, lightsabers, costumes, things like that.
Nice.
And I nicked a lightsaber.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did they know about that, or was you getting your back pocket?
They do know.
And I'm going to have to ask about Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
Where are you at with it? I guess it's finished now. Have you stepped back from it?
Yeah, I did it. It was quite a short undertaking for those of us who are animated in it, because we, as the household staff, of course, are under this spell where we've been turned into household objects. So I'm a candelabra, and I didn't have to actually do that. I just had to voice it. So we recorded all of the dialogue for the film, and I had to be French in it, and I've been married to a beautiful French woman for 22 years, and I couldn't do the French accent. I thought I would be really good at it, and didn't give it enough preparation.
Do you remember
just arrogantly thought, oh, that'll be fine.
Do you remember and your first line?
Yes, look, maybe she is the one. Like that. And
that's good. I like that. Oh, bonjour, yeah. Ewan.
Oh, maybe. But at first, it was not very good. It was a bit Spanish, to be honest. What happened? They didn't like me to do the French sound. So I did a sound, and it turned into sort of a Mexican sort of candelabra, you know. So I had to, I said to the director, I said, you've got to let me do it again. So I came back after they'd finished shooting, and after having done some quite extensive work on the French accent, and we came back and we redid it. And then I got this great song in it. I do the Be Our Guest song, you know?
Yes.
From the original. And that was something else to be able to, because I haven't sung a big like musical number and something since Moulin Rouge, really. So that was nice to do that, and I enjoyed recording music again, because that's really satisfying. That's a fun thing to do.
Well, I can't wait to see the film, and in all honesty, massive fan of T2. Oh, it didn't let me down at all.
No, I am too. I really am, and I think people will be very moved by. I was very moved by it. I think through these characters, we look back at our youth, you know, and that time in the 90s, and I think people will be touched by it.
Still making the same mistakes 20 years on.
Well, some of them.
Yeah.
Not all of them.
Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Cheers, mate.
Ewan McGregor, everybody! Yeah. Oh, welcome back, everybody, and what a lovely guest Ewan McGregor was on the podcast, wasn't he? Oh, yeah. Well, that was nice, wasn't it? I hope you're enjoying the podcast so far. We're about halfway through, so don't give up yet. And do you want to have another game of What's That Man on the Fish Market Saying?
Oh, go on then.
Okay, just got to get the giant roulette wheel out one more time and give her a spin. Off she goes. Spinning, round it goes. All you got to do is tell me what the man on the fish market is saying to either a man there or maybe a colleague he's working with. We don't know. You got to find out. It'll tell me when the ball lands on the roulette wheel. We do not condone any sort of gambling on this radio show. Ah, that's a really good one it's picked. Go on, blind, give her a hand. Got a bit of a pike in the mouth. She's 2 days old, so I wouldn't sell her.
Didn't get the first bit, but there's definitely a pike in the back that's 2 days old.
And you wouldn't do what?
I wouldn't eat it.
Go away, give her, there's a pike in the back, 2 days old, I wouldn't sell it.
Oh.
Yay!
Do they sell pike at fish markets?
Pie is a very famous fish.
Oh, pike or pie?
Pike. The fish. Pike.
Cool.
Pike. Anyway, a kind of pike I like is a pikelet.
Wow. That is so far off beast. You have gone from a fish to a mini crumpet.
Anyway, we sent Lucy, who's our entertainment reporter, down to the National Television Awards. The people that are making this radio have that kind of power. It's unbelievable, isn't it, really?
Mm.
Unbelievable. And she went down there and chatted some of our good mates, like Anton Deck and real mate, Graham Norton. Hope you're good.
Hope you're all right.
And it was the NTAs last night on TV. Loads of people talking about on Twitter this morning. And can I just say, what an excellent job Dermot O'Leary did. He's brilliant, isn't he?
He is brilliant.
He's absolute. Every single time I watch him, I go, man, you're good. Do you know what I like watching him do? Watch his hands. He does a lot with his hands and you don't really expect it. And very happy last night watching to see that Queen Bey, Mary Berry, won Best Judge.
In first place, well done. You've really cracked it. They're well finished and they taste jolly good.
She just makes me so happy. There's moments like that, and then there's better Mary Berry moments like this.
There's your soggy bottom, Mary.
We had to wait a while for
it.
We had to wait, the last one.
Doesn't it make you sad that there's going to be none of those moments anymore?
Mm.
It's really sad. And we sent Lucy, our entertainment reporter, down there to catch up with everyone afterwards. So she's on like the red carpet when they leave. And she managed to grab Mary on the way out. And apparently she was really shocked that she'd won.
I had no idea. You know, I watched Strictly and I thought, Len's going to win. Of course he's going to win because he's retiring. And gosh, he's very special. And so I didn't think any more about it. But it was wonderful for people to vote for me.
I'll tell you what, Strictly did win something last night. They didn't even mention Len in their speech.
Did they not?
No, they didn't even mention him because he's leaving. Not nice, that. But then Mary came out with some very, very helpful advice for us all, I feel, re-hangovers.
Well, if anybody's got a hangover, I always give them water, lots and lots of water, and sort of toasted Marmite or something like that with no butter on. And, you know, just a little bit of something to keep the tummy going.
It's good advice.
Marmite, though.
Marmite! Do you know what? That's exactly what I'd want on a Sunday morning, coming downstairs to my kitchen to find Mary Berry preparing me something. It'd be so good. A bit annoyed with Lucy. All the questions we gave her, she didn't do. Why is she trying so hard to be professional? We gave her such good questions. This is what we wanted to ask the people there last night. Is what's your curry order? Was one of them. What was the other one? Was that it?
I think the other requirement was just to get right close and give a good sniff of everyone's neck while they're wearing. I can understand why she didn't do them.
Yeah, she was fine on email about asking the curry question, but then not come through with it at all. Anyway, at the end, Lucy was hanging about, I guess in like the red carpet area, and got chatting with Anton Deck. And I didn't know this, but they're very superstitious when it comes to the NTAs.
This is the key to it. We've never prepared a speech, so we thought if we start doing it now, it's kind of a bad omen. So we never prepare anything. So that's why we're so dull when we're up there, because we think the moment we come up with a speech, we go, oh, we should thank this person, that person.
Yeah.
That's the year we're not going to get it.
That was their 9,000th NTA last night, I think. And they seem so grateful when they're on stage there. They're still really, really grateful about it. And then Lucy asked a question I think we all wanted to know, is where do you keep your trophies?
Yeah, yours are kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
Dotted in every room.
Yeah.
You've even got some in Newcastle at your mum's.
Yeah.
So he spreads his thinly.
I spread them throughout the house just in case somebody only goes into one room. So then they'll see that I have won awards. Ant has a cabinet.
That's a good point. And then I'm not exactly sure what happened now, but apparently Graham Norton walks past and starts heckling Anton Deck's trophy.
In your face, is Anton Deck.
Oh!
He's in your face.
Right back at you, Graham.
It's gold! Where's gold?
Gold!
When do I get a gold one?
We've got a gold one.
Sounds like chaos. Sounds like absolute chaos. Then Lucy managed to catch Graham for a little bit of a quick chat about winning the special recognition award last night for old Graham Norton.
Clearly, we all know what it is. It's the You're Not Anton Deck Award. But I don't care. You know, if 2016 taught us anything, it's just smile, say thank you, and be grateful. I could be dead. So I'm thrilled.
He was so happy last night to get in, thanked everyone, and was in tears on stage. It's very good. And thank you, Lucy, for going down there last night for us, but unfortunately not getting the curry question. Slightly annoying.
The hits.
The news feed. Get breaking music and celeb news online now at thehitsradio.com or download the app.
Right then, let's do the news feed. Everything you need to know in the world of showbiz this morning, and it is a big one. It's like an NTA special, because Anton Deck were the big winners at the NTAs last night, the National TV Awards. They got 3 awards, and they got a very, very cute photo on their Insta at the moment of them together. Is that the one in the back of the car, that one? Yeah. Davina's commented a little love heart on it, and Alicia Dixon commented how much she loves the photo. Is Alicia Dixon still around?
Yeah,
is she still
great.
A thing? Okay, cool. And Holly and Phil also won Best Live Magazine Show. Last year, they made an absolute beast of themselves when they did the show the following day, having been all night out at Ant's house.
Okay, so obviously, you might have noticed we're still wearing the same clothes. I haven't been home yet.
That show was very lol that day. Very, very lol. And Phil addressed it in their speech last night.
We just want to say that obviously we shamed ourselves last year.
Sorry.
And so we're not going to do that again this year. We're going to get tattoos!
I've not heard that clip. That's very funny. I'm wondering if they... Do you reckon they'll do it again this year? What time does their show start?
It starts at like 10 a.m, doesn't it?
Oh, brilliant. I'm hoping so. More to read that on the newsfeed pages of our website. Didn't we at the start of this podcast say we want to get one of my mates on? Oh, should we get Dobie on and we'll play the game with Dobie?
Oh, that sounds good.
Oh, what a clever idea.
That's gripping.
Louis's going to entertain you now while I do this. Any money, he's going to do that stupid accent.
You don't understand.
There we go.
What it was like for me. It was so difficult. But we got through it.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, don't turn me off.
Sorry.
You've got to look after your mother when I'm gone. You be brave, my boy. Let's hope Dobie picks up.
Yeah, me too.
Hello?
Dobie!
Oh, my God.
You're on the podcast!
Yeah!
How are you, mate? You all right?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. How are you?
Yes, I'm very good. So we've got a game on the podcast we're doing, all
right? Right, okay.
It's called... What is it called?
Fish Market Roulette.
Yeah, Fish Market Roulette. Okay, so I spin a giant wheel. It lands on a sentence. I then say that sentence in a fishmarker's man's accent. All you've got to tell me is what that person's saying.
Okay.
Do you want to play it?
Yeah, I'll play it.
Spin the roulette wheel, everybody. So it's a well-mic'd up roulette wheel. So it's spinning. It's going to land on a sentence. I will then say that sentence in the voice of a fish marker.
Marker.
Marker man. And then you just got to tell me what sentence I'm saying.
Yeah.
Oh,
there you go. Ah, oh, but this fish boy's in 7 o'clock this morning. Not even sold a dime.
Oh, no, that's the worst one. That's the... Dobie, you've been thrown in at the deep end there, mate.
Any idea?
Mate, I haven't even a clue.
Yeah, I don't. I was 2 feet away from him. That was horrific.
Do you want me to have another go?
Nope.
That just sounded like heavy breathing down the microphone.
Hold up. Oh, you won't believe it. Been at this 6 months. Oh, you won't believe it. Been at this fish market since 7 o'clock this morning. Not even sold a dime.
He's really...
His voice has got really high pitch. Don't be any idea.
Sound like something, I can't believe it.
Yeah.
And it's 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yes!
Something like that.
So the sentence was, I've been at this fish market since 7 o'clock this morning and I've not even sold a dime. Anyway, that was about it, Dobie.
Down.
See you, bro.
See you later. Bye. Bye.
How are you, Producer Louis?
I'm fine, actually, yeah.
I'm not fine.
I can see you're struggling a bit.
I'm not fine. I got absolutely schooled yesterday. Absolutely schooled. You know they say every day's a school day?
Yeah.
Well, yesterday I must have done a whole term in a day. It was unbelievable. So, you know, I'm really this, like, fit and active guy now, 6 times at the gym for my channel swim.
I still don't think that's good.
And, well, that's how much I'm going. I went to a boxing class last night at the gym. Where you go, it's like a little bit like boxer size.
Yeah.
Get fit through boxing. So I turned up, and by the way, thanks for bailing on me because I really did need you there. Because when you turned up, right, you had to have a partner, sparring partner, and I was just on my own, like friends. So a lady walks over to me. She must have been in her late 40s, early 50s, and she was called Linda.
Great.
And she offered to be my sparring partner.
Right.
And between me and you, I was a little bit like, Linda, I don't know if you can handle me.
Oh, really?
I might be about to knock you out in the sparring. And within 5 minutes, she was clearly about 3 times more athletic than I was. She was unbelievable for an older woman.
What, so did she knock you out?
She was punching me. She was like, we had to do like press-ups and stuff, and she did like 100 more than me. It was crazy.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it was really bad because like 5 minutes in, we had to both like spar with each other. She was fine. I was dripping, and I repeat, dripping with sweat.
Yeah.
And then we had to swap gloves.
Oh.
Like swap the pads over, and mine was like a swimming pool in there.
Oh God!
I think she was disgusted by me.
She will have been.
Yeah, it's one of those things where we saw each other in the pool yesterday. Didn't give eye contact after that.
No,
a little bit awkward. So life lesson, guys. I got schooled by a 50-year-old granny at boxing. What is life?
Tom Green's Poddy McPodcast, the best of Tom Green in the morning.
So if you've been listening to this show since January, thank you. If you've not, come on, we're here every day. I decided it'd be a good idea for 2017 to attempt to swim the channel. That's from Dover to Calais. I think it's 22 miles, 24 miles.
I think that's at its shortest.
Right. It's going to be about 10 degrees Celsius. It's going to be cold. Since then, I've done a little bit of outdoor swimming. I've done a lot of training. I've been in the gym 6 times a week. It's been going well.
Well, we've come to the conclusion that it is unrealistic and you're not built for it.
I disagree. However, this morning, guys, I'm glad you can all join me here at 7:08 because I need to make an announcement. I need to make an official announcement. I've prepared a script.
Okay.
So if you don't mind me just reading it.
due to unforeseen circumstances. Don't, not in, not during this, not during
Sorry.
This. Not during this. Due to unforeseen circumstances, I am not going to be able to swim the channel. Due to unforeseen circumstances, I'm not going to be able to swim the channel this time.
Well, of course you're not.
And that's my statement.
That's the statement we've been waiting for since day one.
So basically, this is nothing to do with physical ability.
Oh, come on.
This is nothing to do with what makes me a man. What this is to do with is the huge financial and logistical undertaking of trying to do a radio show while you're crossing the channel.
Okay.
It's impossible. So I'm going to be pulling out, I'm going to be Brexiting, and I'm not going to be swimming the channel this year anyway.
What a great facade.
No, see, what you don't know is, guys, I have, however, found a loophole. Okay?
What loophole?
I found a loophole. I will still be a channel swimmer. Morning, Holly. Am I right in thinking you've heard my announcement?
I did indeed.
And what are your thoughts and emotions?
I was just waiting for this to happen, to be honest. It never was going to happen, was it, Tom?
See, this is where you're wrong, because the only reason I'm not doing it, Holly, is for financial and logistical reasons.
Financial and... no, that's just no. It's excuses. You just don't want to get cold.
Before we even take my physical ability into it, Holly, right? Before we even think about that, it is impossible for me to cross the channel. Williams did it in 12 months. I gave myself, at best, 6.
I mean, we did all tell you this to start off with.
She's got a point.
Unfortunately, you do have a point.
You just went ahead and did it.
But wasn't
and
it...
attempted.
Was it nice to see a man try?
No. You've tried and failed very hard.
Well...
a lot of people down.
You are going to be eating those words so hard. Because...
we will see.
Holly...
yes.
I found a loophole.
Oh.
Oh! Is there concern in that voice?
No.
You are going to regret saying all these things. I have got my best lawyers, and by best I mean the only lawyer I know, working away today on my loophole.
Okay.
And not only, Holly, will I become a channel swimmer next week, I will be the only channel swimmer to have ever done it in Feb, and I'll be the fastest, and I think I'm going to do it there and back.
Okay. I will pay good money to see this.
You were going to regret saying that so bad.
I don't think I will.
I'll see you in Calais, Holly.
I'll see you in Calais.
And as they say, bonjour. Ça va bien. Have a good day.
And you, bye.
Yeah, that's it, guys. The channel dream is momentarily over. See, yeah, he's doing momentarily there.
Yeah.
That's because it's not going to be over forever. Boy. Doing your stupid accent.
Are you trying
now.
To do the voice?
I'm not doing your voice.
Oh, go on, we'll do a reenactment. If you want to do the voice, you've taken inspo from me. I'll be the other person you're talking to.
Around these parts of years, boy, not seen a man like you around here for a long time.
I know, boy. I know.
Where have you been, boy? Tell daddy where you've been.
I'm not your son.
Tell
daddy. Oh, hold on a minute. Tell
daddy where you've been, boy.
We need to establish some characters here, don't we? So you're going to be the gruff old American.
Yeah.
Who's, you know, come back from some hardship.
No, oh, I've been in hardship for years, boy.
Okay, fine. It doesn't necessarily matter. If you're around the age of 60, I could be your 30-year-old, you know.
Exactly.
So, right.
Papa. Yes, son.
You're looking so... worn out.
It's been hard on the ranch.
Why don't you?
It's been hard on the ranch.
Why don't you come home and spend some time with mom?
Don't say that woman's name in this bar, son. Not after what she did.
But
she took Randy the horse.
I know, Papa, and Randy is back now. Why are you taking
my glasses off? I'm gonna cry.
Ah,
I'm gonna try and.
Oh, Papa!
No, stay back, son.
I'm not coming any closer.
Stay back.
I'm here.
I still sit down. I need to tell you something about that horse.
Yeah, I know, Papa. I
you know that horse?
I heard it off of Jeff in the village.
The rumor?
Find out what happened to the horse next. Oh, I promise you only one game of headliners, but there's going to be two, or is there? Because something happened to our contestant. Here it is.
Tom Green's Headliners.
Because it is Thursday, it means today's the day we do headliners. However, our headliners contestant has had to pull out this morning. We've got her on the phone, though. Morning, Sarah.
Morning.
Morning, how are you?
I'm good.
Now, tell me what's going on.
So, I woke up about 4 o'clock this morning.
Yeah.
Screaming and a lot of pain. And I got rushed into hospital by ambulance. And he's done a scan on my stomach and he said to me, oh, you're 9 months pregnant. Now, I've got no bump. I had no cravings. And I've not been, being sick. So, he's done a scan on my stomach and he said to me, you're 9 months pregnant and you're having contractions. And I was like, no. And they were like, you're not. So, I had a baby about 10 minutes ago.
Oh, my God. So, you've been pregnant for 9 months and you didn't know?
Yeah, exactly.
How do you feel right now? Because obviously you've just given birth.
Shocked.
So is it a boy? Shocked. Is it a girl?
It's a little girl.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
That is so exciting.
Yeah, her name's Grace.
Oh, little baby Grace.
Yeah.
I've got a little recommendation for you.
Okay.
Have you thought about a middle name?
Oh, God, there we go.
Have you thought about...
No.
Whoa. Thomas is very, very popular at the moment.
What a girl.
Grace Thomas.
Oh, my God.
Sounds good, doesn't it?
That is
like a... Oh, don't fall for the it, first... Sarah. Don't fall for
the
this.
The first baby named after the show. Oh, well, thank you so much for calling the show.
No worries.
And... Well, congratulations. This is amazing news.
Thank you. I'll send you the picture on Snapchat.
Yes, please. I want to see little baby. Oh, it's so cute. Well, congratulations again. Have a lovely day.
Thank you.
Bye.
The
Hits. And I was going through Facebook last night and I went on the Virgin Media wall. Do you know, you can post comments on there for feedback? Because there's one comment that was getting a lot of love. Because someone had complained to Virgin Media about something that was going on in their life, right? So I've got it. Do you want me to read what this guy said?
Yeah, okay.
I've blurred his name out.
Yeah.
But he wrote on the Virgin Media wall, "Hello, my next door neighbour's internet is very slow. I've been using his Wi-Fi for several years now, and suddenly my download speed has dropped. Is there any way I can speed it up without asking him, as we are not strictly on speaking terms since I spat at one of his children?"
Oh, all right then.
400 likes. No reply from Virgin Media yet. I'll keep on top of it. Oh, welcome back to the podcast section. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Tom, what's going to happen to that bleeding horse on the ranch? Let's find out and go back to Texas. We're going to Texas.
Oh, Papa. Son, set yourself down.
I am.
That horse that you think's your horse?
Yeah.
The one that you pet every day in the ranch? The one that you ride to work every day? The one that I gave you when you... The one that I gave you when you were four?
What do you mean, Randy the horse? My voice, I'm out of character.
What, Bobby, you mean Randy the horse? Yeah, I mean Randy the horse.
Whoa, Papa, what's wrong?
I've got a cold.
You can't think of what's happened to Randy
the horse. I can, just it's hard to tell you. Randy the horse, the one I got you, the one you've kept cherished for all those years.
And the one, the reason you hate your mama.
Yeah. I need to tell you why I hate your mama, because that horse.
Go on then.
11 and a half years ago in 1884.
Whoa.
Your mama.
What
was that?
Whoa.
Whoa, Barbara, it just took me by surprise that we're so long ago.
Yeah, that your mama killed that horse.
No, she didn't.
She was a drunken son.
No,
she got in debt with the old landlord. Killed the horse.
No, she didn't.
She did, son. And I couldn't live with her, so I had to leave. And I've never told you that. Where this other horse came from, I have no idea.
What a far-fetched story. That's not what happened.
Son, get out my bar. What a great story that was.
I know, mate. Sorry, I'm still in character.
It's all right. If anyone from Sony or Warner Brothers is looking to buy that, at This Is Tom Green on Twitter, you can have it for very little money. Anyway, thank you for enjoying the podcast this week. It's whatever, isn't it? I will see you next time. And as always, sleep well. Sleep.
That was Tom Green's Poddy McPodcast. Catch Tom weekdays from 7 a.m. on The Hits.